I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Manola Theatre acknowledges the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet, gather and make art, the Yagara and Turrbal people, and we acknowledge their elders past, present and emerging.
Welcome back to another bonus episode of Forgotten. You're with Kat Decker and
Bianca Butler-Reynolds.
And we are the co-founders and creative directors of Manola Theatre. So far, you would have heard two episodes of our five-part audio fiction drama, Begotten.
Alice and Eileen are quite different from one another, but hopefully you enjoyed both of them in different ways.
We're very excited to be here today chatting with the woman who made it all possible, Siobhan Venice, our amazing post-production sound designer and engineer and all-round wonderful woman. Say hi, Siobhan.
Hello. I think you flatter me slightly.
Impossible to flatter you too much. You're a lifesaver on this project. Hey, before we dive in, we might just quickly say that, again, if you're listening along to Begotten in its five parts, there's a chance we might mention some characters coming up, some minor plot points. If you're really trying to avoid spoilers, maybe listen to this after you've listened to the whole piece.
Yes, absolutely. We will be on our best behaviour, but there's just, you know, a slight chance we'll get excited and say everything.
So we're bringing Begotten to you in five parts with a new release every fortnight. And in between, we're going to be having chats about the process, about what it's like to run an independent theatre company during a coronavirus lockdown. And just whatever else we feel like chatting about. So thanks for listening, if you are.
And Siobhan's going to be talking to us a little bit today about her contribution to Begotten, which, as we've said, was enormous. But just a little bit about Siobhan's process and how she felt, in particular, working on this slightly unusual project. So, Kat, do you want to kick us off with some questions for Siobhan?
Yeah. Hey. Tell us about yourself. Tell us how you know us.
Oh, well. I actually first met Bianca because her husband is an improviser and I'm also an improviser, and I probably just was wandering around saying, I'm also an actor. So when it came to Bianca casting her play Love You, Hate You, Drive You Wild, she had me in mind, which was incredibly lovely and surprising because it was such a fantastic experience and an amazing character, which is how I met Kat, who directed me. So that's how I know these ladies, and it's been wonderful to continue the collaborations that we've done together.
So you've talked about a few of the hats you wear. Tell us about the other ones, and particularly the hat that you wore with us on the garden.
Oh, sure. Yes. So I also have this other moonlighting life where I make films. So primarily I am a vision editor, so I get the footage and I make it into a story. But part of that is also creating and setting up soundscapes, which I did a bit of training with at uni. So when you guys contacted me and said that you were interested in putting together a soundscape for this, I felt like that was something that I was skilled enough to offer as a skill, and also something really exciting because for me, I've never actually done essentially a feature-length film version of a soundscape without any vision. So it was a really exciting opportunity to run and do something that I've never really done quite like this before. Yeah.
Did you have an impression, I guess, of the script when you first read it? And I know that I'm the writer and I'm sitting here and you probably want to be kind, but I'm just aware that it's a very different story from Love You, Hate You, Drive You Wild, which is the last piece of mine that we worked on together. So I was just wondering, I guess, your reaction to the material when you first encountered it.
Well, I first encountered the material in the mindset of someone who was going to create the soundscape. So,
Can I pause you? I'm sorry. You first encountered one-fifth of the material in a slightly different format. Oh. Do you want to tell us about that? Because that was a bit of a change as well.
Yes, that's right. So at the start of the year, We've had an interesting year, haven't
we've had an, we've had a fun one. We've been some places together. Yeah.
At the start of the year, well, at the end of 2019, I approached Kat and Bianca with one of my other creative partners, Luke, because we were interested in collaborating with them. Luke and I are primarily improvisers, but we have actually both studied theatre at university, and we both wanted to get back into theatre. So we asked the lovely Kat and Bianca if they would be willing to collaborate with us on doing some short plays together, which turned into Love Triangle, which was three plays that were primarily about relationships and love and deceit, things of that nature. but the funny thing about that was that I'd actually started doing a Carol Churchill play, which didn't end up going ahead because we had illness with one of our cast members. So within the last 3 weeks, I just sort of rushedly found a monologue for myself that I ended up performing with.
Performing amazingly, by the way.
Oh, thank you. With the assistance of a sleeping Ryan Goodwin, who is another fantastic improviser and actor that I work with.
And just slept so beautifully and believably in that bed, if I can, you know, be so bold. What a sleeper.
Yes. So he was my boyfriend that I just crept in from cheating on, and the monologue was about sort of that, about the feelings that you have after you cheat on a partner.
That was from Ella Hickson play, if yes. I remember correctly.
Which was also a series of monologues, so it seems to be running as a theme. Like, it wasn't intentional, but I really do think that monologues are the theme of 2019-2020.
I think so, yeah.
And so to pull it back together, that was the same project that I then delivered the first monologue from Begotten as part of. So Siobhan gave a monologue. I gave the Alice monologue, which our listeners may have heard a couple of weeks ago, and then that turned into Begotten.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to. I got very focused on myself. Yeah, so the first time I read Alice, I thought it was a really beautiful piece, but I didn't expect it to turn into a full-length play. So that was really exciting when I found out that you were transforming it. And I obviously expected to see it in a theatre when I first heard about it.
Yes, but that's what we expected to.
But I, as with the Love Triangle fiasco, at the time when I said, when we had to change that, I said, I actually think this has turned out better than we originally planned. And I think the way that this has turned out might actually have been better than was originally planned as well. If you're open to things changing, it's amazing the creative outcomes that can be produced. Yeah. And my hope for this show is that the radio play, with its richness, I hope it has richness because, like, partially because of the soundscape, you can send that to London or, you know, Western Australia or whatever, and so this is our play, and we're going to perform it in person, and someone can get a really good impression of what it is before they program it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing that we've talked about is if and when we're back in theatres and putting this piece on, so much of the work is already done because we can bring your beautiful soundscape with us, and it can exist in that physical space with a performer on stage, maybe in slightly altered forms, but there's so much lovely layering going on behind those pieces that we think will also translate into physical space. So I agree. It you know, at the time we were a bit bummed that we couldn't go to Backdock and show them what we've been working on, but there's lovely, lovely positives to have come out of the way it all worked. Hey, so Bianca and I came to you and said, we've got no idea how to do this. We are not tech savvy. We don't know any of this stuff. So from your own house over Zoom, tell us how to do everything. What was that process like?
That was a bit stressful. I think I may have stressed everyone out. I, in my normal life, am not a very big perfectionist. I'm a bit all over the place. But I found out when it comes to doing anything to do with media, I become this insane perfectionist. I'm like, it's not perfect. back to the shop. So that was a bit tricky because audio recording isn't really my specialty. I would say, like, the post part of audio is much more where I'm comfortable. So I was trying to guide you, but very conscious that I wasn't an expert in any way. And also I couldn't be in the room, so I couldn't touch things or move things or adjust anything about the room.
So we're having three-way FaceTime or Zoom calls with, you know, Bianca putting up blankets under a desk and with, you know, trying to listen to it in the moment and then post-recording. And there were some fun nights.
It wasn't the most efficient way to go.
And I would agree, Siobhan. It was, at the beginning, incredibly stressful while we worked it out, because I had to be my own recording engineer. So I was trying to sort of be in a creative headspace and like act through my voice while also pressing all the buttons on the software, and then for part of it at least having Kat in a window on a separate screen giving me director's notes. And I sort of slowly melted down. So we had to rework the system, and it in some ways became more convoluted, but at least functional.
Yeah. So we decided, as the initial part of the process, that we would kind of do the rehearsing and recording all at once. So Bianca would speak a chunk of the monologue, and then we'd revisit it with any thoughts I'd had in the moment. But the multiple layers of that kind of almost broke dear Bianca, so we slightly reworked and decided I wouldn't have to watch her every time she recorded a piece. We could do the notes as a separate conversation and let her just wear not quite so many hats.
In terms of things that I'm curious about, like for Bianca, was this your first time doing voiceover type work?
It was, yeah. I've mostly been a theatre performer, and I've done a little bit of short film acting, but I've never specifically done voiceover. So things that I had to learn about just, you know, interstitial noises, and, you know, I have a nervous tic where I always like move my legs under the desk, and there was a point where Kat was like, I can hear this weird noise in the background. I'm like, oh, I can't even have a nervous tic anymore. This is so limiting. So I definitely had to learn to be incredibly conscious of any noise that I was creating around me, and really your notes on that, Siobhan, in ways to absorb sound and kind of where to stick blankets in your house, which is not designed for recording, were incredibly helpful.
Do you think the process of acting, did you have to draw on different skills in order, because you don't have an audience, so recording voiceover in some ways can be a little more sterile? Did you find it more challenging? Did you have to draw on different resources in order to do the characters?
I think in some ways there was an advantage to the piece being largely dramatic. I think if it was a comic piece, I would have struggled very hard without the audience, because I would have no idea whether I was being funny or not. But the way that I tend to work when I'm a performer with a monologue is I get very sucked into it, very absorbed. And so being able to be alone with the text was actually okay, because I could just go very deep into my feeling of it and not have to worry too much about an audience response. As much as it's wonderful to have an audience when that's possible, I think, yeah, just the dramatic nature of it meant it was less difficult than it could have been.
I was quite struck by how beautiful and successful the voiceover acting was. I personally find voiceover much more difficult, probably because I usually do it with my boyfriend, who has very specific ways he wants every word to be said.
Our listeners might recognize Siobhan's voice, because she does do a little bit of voiceover for us in Forgotten with our intros and outros.
Yes.
So I have to compliment your voiceover as part of this piece as well.
Oh, well, thank you. I guess the only other thing that I'm curious about, because you gave me a lot of freedom. I read the script and I was like, I hear ocean sounds throughout the whole thing. Water is such an evocative symbol. Was there anything unexpected that I put in, or was there anything that any interpretation that you were surprised by? Or
I have a response to that. I was so, so impressed by the level of thought that went into creating oral motif. You were incredibly thoughtful about, as you say, something like the ocean sound, running that between all the episodes, but then also thinking about little sounds that are specific to one character's story, which could then recur in another character's story, you know, generations later. So that's what I was trying to do with the text, was have them subtly refer back to one another, but you were intelligent enough in your sound design to also reinforce that through these really sophisticated little nuanced sound reminders.
I agree. It's hunting for Easter eggs. Like we listened to the pieces that was coming together so many times, and I was still finding echoes of earlier sounds that worked in their new space. And for example, the sound in the museum in our first Alice episode makes at least one repetition in episodes that are yet to come.
Zoetrope noise.
Just having these lovely little echoes back to things that have happened, later chronologically, earlier in the delivery of the piece, in a nice confusing way. I want to ask you, do you have a favourite of the five women?
I think I agree with Kat. In terms of the actual just funness of the character, I love Eileen, and I love the way Bianca does it as well.
Such a delight.
Bianca has this really cute, childlike persona that she can bring out for certain characters, and I think Eileen was the only one where I just like actively laughed throughout the entire thing as I was putting it together. Just, it's so such a tragic story, but there's so much humour in the tragedy of it.
I agree. And again, I think, I mean, I love all the soundscapes, but Eileen's soundscape has so many of my favourite moments. Bianca talks about the nervous twitch. You know, we hear Eileen scratching throughout. And as I think Bianca mentioned in our last conversation, Eileen was the one who gave me such a visceral response when I was first listening, and it was due to that. Just so present, scratch on skin. What happens with her music is really fun and enjoyable. And yeah, I think there's lots of layers to why she is a lot of fun to listen to.
In terms of the actual soundscapes themselves, I liked the final two soundscapes that I did. I think I feel personally that I was getting slightly better every soundscape that I made, just because I was getting better at blending the sounds and also knowing what was possible in terms of doing mixing sort of post-production effects onto the sounds. But because they were more historical, the final two were the most fun as well. Not to give too much away, but the fourth episode takes place largely during World War II in a bunker, so you can imagine the kind of fun I could have creating echo sounds in that situation.
And I think placing those stories historically in time with some of the really wonderful found songs, I agree there's a lot of fun in those too with the sense of place you created.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Episode 4, Hazel's episode, there is an auditory moment that's maybe my favorite of what Siobhan created, which is the 1940s dance hall. Every time I hear it, I'm just thrown into it. It's like a scene from the Brooklyn movie or something. Like I feel like I'm there in that space with all the people and the dancing and the jazz music. It's so powerful.
Yeah, look out for that, listeners.
That was really fun to create as well. I was using all of my university education to do that.
Thanks, QUT. You are a university for the real world. Well, shall we wrap it up there for today?
I think so. Thanks so much for chatting to us, and thanks so much for being the thing that let Begotten happen. Like, we so obviously could not have done it without you. It was a delight. And it's so nice to sit in the same room as you now. Yes. We're glad to do that. It's so nice.
Such a delight to work with both of you. And it was also really lovely because I was around 20 weeks pregnant during this whole process. It was really nice to have a project that wasn't so physical that I could do the entire time. So it's lovely to work with other women and to be able to create things while you're...
Well, you're creating a thing.
Well, I'm creating a thing.
Amazing. All right. Well, listen up, because you are about to hear a preview of Clea, the next woman in the Begotten family story.
That is correct. And thank you so much for joining us again for this bonus episode. Thank you, Siobhan. And please enjoy Clea. Her episode will be coming out next week, and then we'll be back the following week with another bonus chat. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
My earliest memory of Amber is in a tunnel. The memory is so foggy it may not even be real. What I see is brickwork and a brown woolen blanket and lamplight showing the outline of Mum's face, her angular chin, her thin lips. What I feel is Amber curled against me. and our fat fingers wrapped around each other's hands. Exactly the same size, exactly the same number of days old. There's a rumble somewhere deep in the memory, but I don't feel scared. I feel peaceful. The first time Brian hit her, she didn't tell me. We caught the tram into town to go shopping and she kept her cap pulled down low all day. The makeup had been applied so carefully, but the skin around her eye shone too much and we both knew it. She kept checking her watch the whole time we had tea. She had to be home by 3, she said. I know, I said, you've told me 5 times. She ate half a scone, then told me again.
I don't believe in coincidences. How much shit can happen on one street? One little insignificant street. Quiet, suburban, nothing shady until a year ago, and now 2 families are destroyed. A disappearance and a death exactly 1 year apart, and they live next door to each other? Something strange was going on Hazel Street, and I was going to find out.
Golden Ash, an episodic crime drama from That's Not Canon Productions.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.